Let's open our Bibles. And we're going into the 11th chapter this evening. And again, I truly do say praise be to God that, you know, He just continues to pour out His mercy and grace in giving us His Word. I think, and really almost stand a little bit overwhelmed tonight, just the awesome love of God toward us. I just to think that He has caused us to want to come together, to desire His Word. It's truly, it's just grace. It's marvelous. There's no other reason. We're not coming here for fanfare. We're not coming here for any other reason but to rightfully divide the Word. Isn't that wonderful? Praise God. So let's get into that 11th chapter and that very first verse. Be ye followers of me, even as I also am of Christ. Now again, this is Brother Paul speaking. Many theologians will tell you, well, this is just connected with the last part and how Brother Paul had really given his life and imitate, basically, is what that word follow means, and imitate his selflessness. Well, I believe that. I think that's true. But this is really such a pivotal point in all of Paul's epistles in magnifying the importance of us to notice this dear brother. And to notice, most importantly, the message, the divine message that was given to this brother. This brother was bestowed the very message of the high calling of God in Christ Jesus. The more perfect way that we rejoiced in that was brought to Brother Apollos. You think about that again. There was a man that was zealous for the things of God. There was a man that was a mighty preacher. Apollos was a man that was very full of the Holy Spirit. But yet Priscilla and Aquila, that sweet couple, came to that brother and brought him the message of follow Paul as he followed Christ and brought to him a more perfect way. And this is what this verse is really bringing out to the forefront tonight, brothers and sisters, is we need to follow Him. Ephesians 3 goes into it in great detail. It was a mystery that was hidden. It was a mystery that was hidden from the sons of men. The mighty Moses, the Ruth, the Esther, the Jacob, the Isaac, all of them. They weren't revealed this. Praise God that you're a vessel that He has chosen. Brother Paul was a chosen vessel. A helpmate. If you really read what that word vessel means, I appreciate the sister that brought that to my mind again. It had been many years how that word vessel is the helpmate. It brings out the best of the husband. That's what God's looking for in that true worshiper that worships Him in spirit and truth. That will unite in harmony with His Son. The bride, the people for His name's sake. Isn't that wonderful? Isn't that precious that God, in His awesome, wonderful love toward us, is looking for that wonderful bride for His Son? But be ye followers of me, even as I also am of Christ. I want to give you a few other verses again to this important message, this urgency again that Paul was bringing forth, not magnifying himself, but the message that was poured into Paul, the vessel. Turn with me to Romans chapter 2, verse 16. In Romans chapter 2, verse 16, it says, and this is Brother Paul again writing, in the day when God shall judge the secrets of men by Jesus Christ, and that would have been a wonderful thing. But again, he brings out very specifically, according to my gospel. And what he is speaking of here is this reward that's going to be judged. It's so wonderful. He's going to meet us with rewards. He is not going to meet his people with judgment. He's going to meet you with rewards. Now, are you going to win him the greatest reward? Brother Paul is bringing this out. That is what's being judged right now, is how much of this gospel are we taking in? How far are we going to let this truth work in our life? How much of that truth is going to promote us and bring us down that wonderful way that we talked about on Sunday? Are you going to finish the course with joy or not? Are you going to just withdraw? Or are you going to say, well, it's too great. I'm just carrying too many weights. I can't run a bit further. by the grace of God, no way. I'm going to leave them all behind. You've got to leave everything behind to follow Him. Praise God. That's the call that's upon our life. Turn with me over to Galatians chapter 1, verse 9. And these are just a few of the highlights that I love to read about this, brother. Actually, go to verse 8. Again, Brother Paul speaking here. But though we, or an angel from heaven, preach any other gospel unto you than which we have preached unto you, let him be accursed. And one more time, as we said before, so say I now again. If any man preach any other gospel unto you than that ye have received, and basically of me, let him be accursed. Now you think about that gospel that Brother Paul brought in. As he's speaking to these different churches, and we're reading, in a sense, in this epistle, so much of the gospel that he had brought in. It's not of works. It's by faith. Absolutely. And when God gave you that incorruptible seed, that's exactly what it will always be, incorruptible. Nothing can separate you from the love of God. Eternal security, isn't that wonderful? These Corinthians were so rejoicing in the Spirit, and it was wonderful. And how needy we are of the Holy Ghost in our life. And the evidence of the Holy Ghost being on our life, the wonderful tongues of men and angels to come forward, to come forth out of our life. Paul said, follow me as I follow Christ. He said, I'm glad I speak more than ye all. And he also said, forbid ye not to speak in tongues. That means don't quench that spirit. Don't stop that going on. It's a wonderful thing. Edify. Spiritual growth. I don't know about you, but I want it all over me. And that's just one of the parts, one of the wonderful pieces that God gives us to rejoice in the Lord. I don't know about you, but often my language ceases and ends to tell Him how I love Him. I love you, Lord, just ain't going to get it for me anymore. Give me something else. Well, I've got just the person for you. I got the Holy Spirit, son. Now just sit there and let Him worship me through you. Isn't that wonderful? Praise be to God. How perfect it is. Turn with me over to Colossians chapter 1, verse 25 and 26. This, and again, just validates that Ephesians chapter 3, that is such a rejoicing chapter. Brother Paul speaking here again. Whereof I am made a minister according to the dispensation, this means His specific stewardship, His calling of this message of God, which is given to me for you to fulfill the word of God. There's an arrangement, there's a completion that's being ready to be rolled out here, and it's got to be fulfilled, and here it is. Even the mystery which has been hid from ages and from generations. He's speaking of peoples there. But now is made manifest to His saints. Let's read on. To whom God would make known what is the riches of the glory of this mystery among the Gentiles, which is Christ in you, the hope of glory. Isn't that precious? Well, and we're going to get into Corinthians further on, if the Lord tarry, and we're going to read about a son glory. And when Christ really gets in you, I'm going to tell you something. By the grace of God, you're going to get a son glory. You will. He wants you to have it. There's a glory of the moon. There's a glory of the terrestrial and the celestial and all of these different things. But there's a specific son glory. And that son glory is just like Him. Praise the Lord. And she is going to have the glory of God when she comes down. And she's going to have her own light. So let's again be able to have the Lord connect these things in our lives. But this is such a precious truth and such a pivotal verse, again, within all of this Corinthians and with all of the Word of God, that we are to follow this brother. Not worship this brother, but follow this brother to mark this faith. To mark this gospel as he followed Christ. And the reason I think he brings it out here again is he's talking about some very tough things. And he's talking about some very tough things to people that are really out of order. These Corinthians were pulled many different ways because of culture. And I was talking to a dear sister, and I hope she'll listen to this tape, and I'm sure she will if God tarries. And she was talking about culture. And we're going to talk about hair and not having hair and having a covering or not having a covering. And she says, well, what about cultures? Well, I said, I appreciate that. But don't you really think a culture is just basically the result of the spiritual condition at the time? Now think about that. Think about what's going on in our culture. Think about what's going on in our culture. They call it the children's culture right now. Our young people, they're starting to tattoo more. They're piercing. They're doing all of these different things. I think there's something going on that's a little disorderly there. There's rebellion going on. The Word of God called that. Now it doesn't have to just be that. It's a state of heart, brothers and sisters. And it's not from the outside in. You're never going to clean yourself up like that. Only God can clean you. And if you're a child of God, He's already cleansed you. But the Word can cleanse every bit of your being. And we need it daily. And the wonderful thing is about the Word of God is you get it in your life and it'll cause you to change. It'll cause you to become, again, as the Word says, to become even in the very image of Christ Himself. I couldn't set out to do that. Everything in my nature was against that. It's a journey and it's a path, and only God can bring that to pass in my life. So praise be to Him that this is going on. But in these next 16 verses that we'll try to get through this evening, we're going to find out that the principal theme of this is subordination. It's submitting to God. It's submitting to His plan. And brothers and sisters, we need to understand that we can't blame that we're a certain way because of our environment. You're seated in the heavens in Christ Jesus right now. Did you know that? Your citizenship is in heaven. You're not even from here. Now, if you're really going to go with the Word of God and believe it, you have to understand that you are a new creature in Him. All things are passed away and you're new. Isn't that wonderful? Now, are we going to believe Him at His Word? Are we going to go on with Christ? Are we going to just draw back in unbelief and say, well, Lord, I'm looking at all my surroundings and this is kind of who I am and this is kind of what I am, and I fit in better when I try to be like everybody else? It's easier. Did you say, I'll go, brother? Praise the Lord. And when you said, I'll go, you're going to stand out. And you're going to stand out in a way that you're going to be challenged. You're going to be tested. You're going to be tried. And that's the love of God doing that in your life. He wants to know if you're really after Him or not. He wants to know if it's just here or if it's here. Is it of the heart? See, we can do a lot of things, brothers and sisters, on the outside. We can do the appearance. We can, again, tonight, Lord willing, we'll talk about head coverings. And we can put them on. But are we put them on in submission of the heart? That's the only way it's ever going to be seen in profit to your life. That's the love that brings it in. It's just, Lord, I love You and I want to comply by the grace of God with what You're telling me to do. I want You to will and to do of Your good pleasure in my life. It's Your work. It's not me. But if I open my life to You, Lord, I know that You will bring these things to pass. And if I be otherwise minded, You'll even remind me and bring that to me. Isn't that wonderful? If I start to rebel against You, Lord, I want You to search me, to know me. If there be any wicked way in me, as Brother David said, Lord, lead me in the way everlasting. I believe that we want that. I believe I can speak for, if not all of us, almost all of us here tonight. You wouldn't be here at a Bible study. I really don't believe so. If you weren't after the deeper things of God. If you wanted to be cleansed. And I mean completely cleansed. We're talking sanctification cleansed. The hair standing up on my arms. Because someday I'm going to stand up in front of Him. And I want to say, that's my bridegroom. And I do. And I believe you do too. And only God can bring that out. So this is submission. That's all it is. This isn't something to wrestle with. If you're going to wrestle with it, you know what's going to happen? You're going to be unstable. And it's going to be hard to be understood. Peter finally found that out, and he was the one that God brought it through to tell you that. Brother Paul was saying some things that were hard to be understood to them that wrestle with the Scriptures, to them that are in unrest, to them that are trying to stand in their own steadfastness. They'll fall. And he just said, my yoke is easy. My burden is light. There's simplicity in the gospel. Just believe. Just believe. All right. Now in these next 15, 16 verses here, Lord is bringing out an ordinance. Further on in the chapter, he brings out another ordinance. There are three ordinances that he brings out that we practice in this meeting, in a sense. And what an ordinance is basically identifying with the Lord and what He's asked us to do and asked us to remember. On the first Sunday of every month, we do one which is the Lord's Supper. This do ye in remembrance of me. We're identifying with that life that bled and died, that body that was sacrificed in life and in death, that lived and died for you and me. The other one that we have is obviously the baptismal. That's why I'm pointing back here. That we identify with Him, that we have died with Him, and we have risen again with Him. The public, wonderful display of the affection and knowing that I am one with Christ in that. Praise God. And tonight, we're going to be speaking of the head covering. Identifying with Christ in His submission to God. How simple is that? It's just identifying with Christ with His submission to God. All right, let's go on. Verse 2. Now I praise you, brethren. Paul speaking to them, I commend you that ye remember me. And that remember is remember me always in all things. Be ye followers of me, as I am of Christ, praise God, and keep the ordinances, this is the teachings, the follow me, as I delivered them to you. Very important. Not as they were delivered to you, but as I delivered them to you. This is important. This was the apostle for this age. They were hearing a lot of stuff. There were a lot of people coming out them, telling them a lot of things. But Brother Paul had the message. This is the perfect way. This is if you want to grow up into Christ and do all things. This is the word of His grace. This is the truth and love. This is important. This is time to really, and I appreciate your attention. We need to be paying attention to this. We need to be listening and hearing this. Allowing this to work effectually in our lives. And he says here, but I would have you know, or have you understand in this third verse, that the head of every man is Christ. That means mankind's head is Christ. Turn over to Hebrews chapter 2, verse 8. And we'll just read that verse very quickly here. That's Hebrews chapter 2, verse 8. This is speaking about God and putting everything in Christ. Thou hast put all things in subjection under His feet. For in that He put all in subjection under Him, He left nothing that is not put under Him. But now we see not yet all things put under Him. It's already been done. It's already been finished. But they're still not seen by us as completed. See, that's the thing about the Lord. When He says it's so, it's done. Even if it hasn't happened yet, it's done. That's why when He says, I'm coming again, He's coming again. That's why when He says, those that will be looking for me will see me the second time. Isn't that wonderful? See, when He tells you it's going to happen, it happens. God can't lie. His word never fails. And this is what He's saying here, is that all things have already been put under Him. It just hasn't happened yet. And that's such a precious thing because the truth then aligns up perfectly and we don't get stumbled up at the kingdom age versus the church age that we're in right now. And trying to wrestle with why are we not baptizing the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Ghost? Why are we not out there preaching to all nations the Great Commission as they call it? We're going to talk about the Great Commission tonight. Great Commission is growing in grace and knowledge of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. That's the Great Commission, is to grow up, to be ready for Him, to meet Him in the air. He's searching for the people for His name's sake. There'll be a time when everybody's going to know and everybody's going to praise Him. Absolutely. Because if they don't, they're going to be out of here. This is the time of free worship. This is the time of the ones that are truly in love with Christ. And this is what He's looking for in this day and age. So it says again that the head of every man is Christ, and the head of the woman is the man. Now, this doesn't mean that the man is more spiritual than the woman. It absolutely does not mean that the man is more intelligent than the woman. And I know that for a fact because I have a wife. And we get along very well because I understand that. But what this means is that this is a divine order. This is just the order that God set it up. And it's set up because it magnifies Him. These are types and shadows of what He has set in order. And the problem with people, and especially the problem with Rome and Corinth at this time, was that men and women were beginning to take the place that they were not supposed to take. Men were becoming like women, and women were becoming like men, and they were leaving the things that God had specifically ordained for them to do and to become a man. And what happened to that society culminated in its destruction. And as the Word of God tells us, man returns like a dog to his vomit, and nothing's new under the sun, and man is going to do the exact same thing again and again and again. The only difference is the evil of man waxes worse each time. And then it gets so worse that finally God just says, you know, it's a generation I'm just going to have to destroy. And don't think He won't, because He did it with Sodom. He showed you with Gomorrah. And He also showed you with the flood. And God will use anything that He wants. We read Revelation, and He's going to use hailstones. He'll use flood water. He'll use famine. He'll use the scorching sun. You talk about global warming. They haven't seen anything yet. Okay? But don't let it scare you. Just anticipate being with Him. Isn't that a wonderful thing? Praise God. All right. And then the head of Christ is God. Now let that speak to you, because this was very God of very God, wasn't it? And yet, He submitted in every way. He never rebelled. He perfectly submitted that life to the will of God throughout His whole life. And He became a man to do it. He was in a body just like this. He was tried and tempted in every way. And yet He did not, and He could not fail. But in doing that, He showed us that we would have that safe harbor in Him. That we would have that one, not just a God, but a God that became a man and lived my life. And understands the pain, and He understands everything that I go through. And He understands all the challenges in my life. And yours too. But see, this is a personal Jesus, and I got to live this one. Isn't that wonderful? I'm glad I don't have to do two, just this one. And I trust Him with it. And I say, oh Lord, yep, You've been there and You've done that. Remember we read that last week? And You're not going to tempt me beyond what You've known, that You've programmed this body and this life that it can bear. And You'll make the way of escape. And I just want to trust in faith that You'll bring me through. And as I'm tried in that fire each time, I just become more like You. From glory to glory, even to the very image of the Son. Isn't that wonderful, brothers and sisters? Praise God. See, there's purpose in our life. That's exciting to me. I'm not just going through here willy-nilly. There's purpose, and there's a purpose for everything that happens. All right. So again, we see that this subjection, whether it's the woman to the man or the man to Christ or Christ to God, it's designed that way. And all of it glorifies God. And again, here we have types and shadows. Man represents throughout the Word of God Christ. We see so many times, we see Moses did as the deliverer, Joseph did, and many others. And then we also see that the woman, which is so precious, represents Christ's glory. That's real exciting here. Christ's glory. Christ in me, the hope of glory. She descends having the glory of God and her own light. Let's keep connecting that back and forth with the Holy Spirit doing that by the love of God in our life. And we understand that she represents the bride. What a place for the woman. What a place for Eve to represent that. How about Esther and Ruth? Isn't that wonderful? That God brought that in, Rebecca. That's that representation of that female, and again, that wonderful bride for our wonderful Lord and Savior. So again, this follows many of the types of Christ and the bride even throughout the Old Testament. So in this, now going forward in this fourth verse, as we start talking about praying and prophesying, this is a very important part because it's going to bring us into the chapters, God willing, if he tarry, about the gifts. And how the gifts that it speaks of are pertaining in the church. Not individually, but in the church. And this is bringing this out, praying and prophesying. This was out in public. And I want you to bring this thought as well, too. Yes, the culture at that time was, in Corinth, they were still holding to the culture of that a woman should be covered, even going to church, because it honored her husband and showed submission. But what was happening was the Roman influence was coming in there, and these women were not doing that anymore. And what that did was show a weakness to the man, because there was a defiance in the woman. But again, as the Word of God, this supersedes everything. And what he's talking about here is the state of our heart in submission to God, and what he is calling us to do as men and women of God in submitting our lives to him. And not trying to be like everybody else, or thinking this is odd or strange. Well, in a lot of ways it is, because my ways aren't his ways. And by the grace of God, he's tempering this life. He's disciplining this life. Because all this life wants to do naturally, and yours too, is to rebel against God in the natural. You have to understand that. There's none that come after him. There's none that seek him. There's none that want to, again, go worship the Lord. There's none that want to come to Bible study. That was just God's gift to you that brought us here tonight. Know that. I hope you're not shining yourself tonight. Oh, no. Don't be a rose thrower on yourself. By the grace of God, I want to throw the wonderful love of God at you. But I don't want to shine myself in any way that way. The humility of God. All right, so verse 4, here we go. Every man praying or prophesying, having his head covered, dishonoreth his head. So again, think about this as well too. This praying that it's speaking about here, when we pray, we're praying to God from man. I'm praying to him from me. I'm bringing petitions to him. I'm bringing the things to him. All right? Prophesying is the reverse of that, is we're bringing man things about God. And that's a wonderful thing. By the grace of God, we're prophesying this evening. Did you know that? See, what we've horsed up in our heads as men and women, naturally, and this is just the enemy, is that we always think of prophesying as something that we need to think about that's going to happen that nobody knew about. This is everything that anybody ever needs to know about. And here it is. And it's the only thing that's ever going to last. So see, isn't that so important? Heaven and earth is going to pass away, but the Word of God remains forever. It's going to continue forever. It's going to be there forever. So this is the only lasting prophecy, isn't it? Praise God, that's it. So what this is happening this evening, by the grace of God, is we are prophesying because we're bringing forth the Word of God. We're bringing forth this Word. Okay. Now, let's follow on that thought. So if a man has his head covered, it dishonors his head. And the reason is that Christ Jesus is man's head, as we see here. And by having this head covered in any way now, shows a weakness. It shows a defiance. It shows something that I am not allowing God to glorify himself in me. Look at verse 7, what it says there. For a man indeed ought not to cover his head, for as much as he is the image and glory of God. Remember when the Lord and the Lord said to one another, let's make man in our own image. Let us. Right there I knew there was more than one up there. Jesus only? Uh-uh. God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Spirit. Isn't that wonderful? They said to each other, let us make man in our own image. And they made a man. They made a man. They made Adam in their own image. People ask, well, what does God look? Well, he's got the image of man. Okay? He just doesn't act like us. Praise be to God. All right. So, if we have this head covered, we're covering that image of God. We're defying the headship of God as men. Because He has called us as men to be that image. Again, a type. I'm submitting to Him by doing that, and the honor of not having a head covering for me glorifies Him because He's the Godhead. I think that's pretty simple in understanding. All right, going on. But every woman now that prays or prophesies with her head uncovered dishonors her head. For that is even all one as if she were shaven. For if the woman be not covered, let her also be shorn. But if it be a shame for a woman to be shorn or shaven, let her be covered. Now at this time, the women that had shaved heads were the prostitutes. A shaved head in the Talmud, which is basically the Jewish writings, was a very ugly, unattractive woman. Okay? We're going to read that doesn't even nature itself give that head covering for a woman, the beautiful hair that she has. It shows that she's the softness there, the tenderness. God set it up that way. And this is again what it's speaking of, is that she needs that covering. But she needs this covering especially when she comes to pray or prophesy. And there's something so precious about this praying or prophesying, because it's, I believe, very evident here of the Lord bringing out, and I think we should kind of hit this. In 1 Corinthians 14:34, that's 1 Corinthians 14:34. I'll go ahead and read that for you. Let your women keep silent in the church, for it is not permitted unto them to speak, but they are commanded to be under obedience, as also saith the law. Now, if I just pulled that out and read that to you, I don't think I'd want to be a woman. How about you? If I didn't understand it, if I didn't rightly divide what God was talking about, that's the truth. And that's unfortunately what the enemy does to defeat people from going on with God. Let me tell you something. There's neither male nor female. Do you understand that? There's neither Jew nor Greek. There's neither bond nor free. We're all one in Christ. All right? We're talking about places that the Lord has us. Now, let's think about, just to answer that question, and I had a sister ask me, well, what about women speaking in the church? Well, I said, we had a dear sister give us a Bible study not too long ago. Precious Bible study. And if God tarry and He encourage us, I believe there will be more. Not that we're looking for that. Because everything needs to be done in its proper order and its divine place. All right? And what it's getting at here is that the woman can pray and prophesy in the church. They can. So they can publicly speak in the church. Isn't that a wonderful thing? I think about Philip. He had four daughters that prophesied. Did you know that? How about Joel and Peter when they declared in Acts 2:16 and 17 that women should prophesy? The woman at Jacob's well in John chapter 4. She evangelized to the whole town about the Jesus that she just met. It's not intended for them to, when he says to be silent, it's to be meek in quietness. God will set this up, and He does it in a divine way. Now, there were two exceptions in the Old Testament of this subjection of women. Deborah the prophetess and Huldah in 2 Kings, she was a prophetess as well. Those were the times that there was a woman that was put up by God divinely to lead. But it was also a time of great turmoil. It was a time of great retreat from the things of God. And there weren't godly men to lead. And that brings us to a point that we have to understand that God has set this up, that these women were to lead at this time because there weren't any men that were coming forward to lead. Isn't that interesting? Praise God. All right, men, we need to have some godly men here. And ladies, isn't it wonderful to be godly? I was thinking again how precious that God, again, with His apostles and His teachers and the different things, He showed and He set up those men. But how did we ever get godly men? It took godly mothers. It takes godly wives that shape and form these lives. And we're going to read here shortly how men and women need one another. And we need to submit to one another truly as we submit to God. That's what we're doing here. It's that wonderful submission. So let's keep going on here. So, but every woman that prays or prophesies with her head uncovered dishonors her head. And again, this was in the church. This was, again, being out in the public that people would see. We wanted to show, again, of the heart. It's not that we were beating our chest like those ones that would give the offerings and walk by and or pray and look at me and how great I did. The widow's mite was the wonderful example of this. She gave more than they all because she was giving from her heart. And this is how we need to proceed in these things is, Lord, this is a state of heart and this is something that has to be dealt with us. I can't just go be putting on a head covering as a woman walking around and say, well, I'm just fine. It's just like tithing of necessity. That's not just fine. The Lord loves a cheerful giver. It's a state of heart thing, brothers and sisters, and this is what will bring it in and make it real to you. Okay, verse 7. For a man indeed ought not to cover his head, for as much as he is the image and glory of God. But the woman is the glory of man. So here we start to get this representation of God and the woman being the glory of man as we were speaking of here. This is still as unto God. That this glory is such a wonderful place for this woman. For the man is not of the woman, but the woman of the man. And again, this is deriving honor from Him from whom she is made. There was Adam. The rib was taken out of him to make that woman. Everything that made her, that gave her honor, was out of him. Everything that gives us anything, any type of honor and any type of glory, is because of Him. This is what this is about. This is all a type. It's a shadow. But again, it's such an important part because it identifies where we are with Christ. Are we just going to buck up against it? You know, as the Lord encourages our heart, I want to be in tune with what He wants to bring through my life. All of us can think about what the Lord has brought us through. I remember as a young person, I liked certain kinds of music. And I still like certain kinds of music today. But I know that there's certain kind of music that isn't edifying to my life. It doesn't promote spiritual growth. There are certain types of movies that don't promote spiritual thoughts. Get away from that evil. Flee those idols. We can't serve both God and mammon here. This isn't a legal thing. I was speaking with my wife today. I'm really starting to understand even more so that this is submission. This is just submitting to God. Saying, Lord, I know You can work this out in my life. You can deliver me from these things. I want to be perfect and complete in all the will of God. That was the prayer for my life. You had that wonderful brother Yodius praying that. And I know that that prayer was for me. I know You saw me there to be in every way shapen to like You, to be tested and tried in all of those ways, to be conformed, praise God, just like His wonderful life. So again, the man is not of the woman, but the woman of the man. Neither was the man created for the woman, but the woman for the man. And again, the precious representation of complete reliance and humility to God. The complete reliance and humility to God. That We were created for that purpose, to worship. Did you know that? That's how it was set up. Aren't you thankful? He didn't force you, though. You don't have to. But one day every knee is going to bow and every tongue is going to confess that He is Lord. And He's going to be magnified in everything. In the judgment of the ones that don't believe Him as Christ, He's going to be magnified in that. There is a glory in judgment. It's a sad thing in a sense. But absolutely, there's justice in that. As we see people be punished for the things that they do to break the law, there's a justice in that. But I want to be on the other end to the real glory, the epitome of the glory, where He says, I'm going to have her stand up and make known to all that I have loved you. Isn't that really what happens at a wedding? I was thinking again, isn't that precious? You know, you're standing there and I was thinking, you know, at my wedding and all, it's pretty young and I might have, never mind. But I was thinking again, as I was standing there, it's the display of my love for that woman and that woman for me. It's the same thing. And that by the grace of God, that is that wedding day. I'm going to make known to all that I have loved you. Isn't that the greatest statement of love, is taking someone to marriage? Making known to all that come and watch, my little niece is going to marry a man, and God willing, they'll get married here in July, and He's going to make known to all, and He doesn't even know you all, that He loves her, and He wants to be with her the rest of His life. That's His bride. That's the glory that we're pursuing, praise God. All right. And it's in that submission that she becomes the glory of man. And it's in that submission that we become the glory of the Lord. Isn't that precious? Okay? See, it benefits us. Oh, all His benefits toward me. The submission, the life of Christ to live that, that's the benefit toward me. Okay, we'll hurry along here. All right. For this cause ought the woman to have power on her head because of the angels. This is such a precious thing because Christ, those angels are submitting to God. Now, they have to. Because they're in fear of being dust or whatever He does to them if they wouldn't, right? I guess they're just out of fear, all right? But it is a wonderful testimony because as they're submitting, they see the testimony, these angels see the testimony in their presence that we're submitting as willful, the ones with a free will to submit to God. Isn't that precious? To be a testimony, you don't realize what a testimony you can be. How the angels rejoice when we're operating in the will of God. Did you know that? Absolutely. They're rejoicing. Thank God. They're rejoicing this evening. I can imagine that they're having just a huge fest to know that there's people, by the grace of God, rightfully dividing that truth. Isn't that wonderful? Praise God. Okay. Nevertheless, neither is the man without the woman, neither the woman without the man in the Lord. For as the woman is of the man, even so is the man also by the woman, but all things of God. Mutual equality. Just remember that. We're all equal. God's not a respecter of person. Sexes, anything like that. We're all equal. Okay? Praise God. And that's really what that's bringing out there. A reminder that we need one another. That we're not to abuse our authority. God still has set these things up. Jesus Christ never abused His authority. He loves us. Absolutely. And how is a man supposed to love a woman in a marriage? But even outside of the marriage, this is talking about just men and women in general. But to love her as Christ loved the church and gave Himself for it. What woman wouldn't love that man? Boy, take that one home to your marriage. She's going to submit all day long. Praise God. She's going to surrender to that is what she's going to do. And say, I love you. I'm going to respect you for that. But remember again, I don't say, well, I'm going to respect if you love, and I'm going to love if you respect, because you know what? That's never going to happen. You're going to keep missing like this. It's like those opposite, you know, those magnets are the same, and vroom, they just push apart. Just go with it. God will work it. He'll bless you for it. 70 times 7. Just get out there and love. Just get out there and love one another. All right. So again, all by the grace of God, will glory in this. And again, if there be capable men, teachers, what God was doing here was He was bringing that up. But He would also place the women, as we've already talked about, in there. So again, God will get His message across, and He will use men, He'll use women. Women keeping silent in the church, again, know that that is just, again, being meek, being quiet, taking the place. But let me tell you something, they can be the most powerful teachers. They can preach wonderful sermons. They can do all of these wonderful things as they're appointed and in order as the Lord allows it. Well, we won't turn there, but 1 Timothy 2:12 is a very important verse that a woman is not to usurp her authority. Extremely important. We need to understand that. But again, it's a speaking again of the authority and submission to God and His design. And it's absolutely not intended to prevent them from openly praying, teaching, or prophesying. Miriam, Deborah, Priscilla, the lady at the well. How many more examples do you need? So if there is anybody that was otherwise minded, I hope God made that known to you tonight. All right. We'll finish this up. Doth not. Okay, well, let's go back to 13. Judge in yourselves. It is comely that a woman pray unto God uncovered. That's a question here. Doth not even nature itself teach you that if a man have long hair, it is a shame unto him. So what it's saying here is think about this. Submit to the Lord. This nature, it's what is right. Okay, what is right? I don't care what culture is telling us. It's just, what is right? It is right for a man. Okay, I don't know what that hair length is. Okay, I'm not going to tell you if it's white walls or halfway down on the ears. I don't know. But I know who does know? God. And I know He'll convict your heart to have it right if you submit to Him. You really will. It'll be right. Not that, well, this seems right, and, you know, wearing skirts up to here seem right, and, you know, I can see where we can go with this. What seems right to me? Remember we talked about those ways, and where do all those ways lead to? Death. That's right. But again, there's that narrow way that leads to life. Oh, praise God. But unfortunately, there's few that find it. And the reason they don't find it is because they want to just wrestle with the Scriptures and they don't want to believe the Lord. Timothy preached the Word. No, the Word sometimes is not easy to be preached because it'll cut you. I'm not here to cut you, to hurt you. By the grace of God, I hope this is going out in love. I have to leave it to Him. But I don't want to know anything but Jesus Christ and Him crucified. And I know if you'll apply this to your life, it'll be a mighty thing. I know you'll grow from it. I know you'll glory in it because it's His Word and it's His way and it's His will. And as long as you're going to buck up against it, I'm going to tell you, you'll suffer the consequences. And you will. Because there'll be a hardening that's happening there. All right. But doesn't even nature tell us these things? And we need to understand that. And in Rome, there were so many things that were going on, whether it was the orgies or the feminists. Or they could have said, well, that's just culture. That's what we do. No, that's just sin. And sin begat sin and sin and sin and sin. And it just multiplies to sin. And then the whole leaven, the whole lump is leavened and it's done. And there's such a departure from God that there's no more godliness. So, it's the truth. And we're going to go back to the truth by the grace of God. And this is where we're going to go. But if a woman... So again, I want to read the 13th to the 14th verse. Now let's go back and read the 13th verse again because it's applying to the 15th verse. And I think it really will help the understanding here because a lot of women will say, well, I have long hair, so that's my covering. Let's read what this says again. Judge in yourselves, is it comely that a woman pray unto God uncovered? Doth not even nature itself teach you? But if a woman have long hair, it is a glory to her. It's talking about nature again. You see what I'm saying? It's a natural thing. Women have long hair, it's a glory to her. You know, typically, for years and years, you know, the beauty, and it wasn't a cultural thing, it was just always, it talked about the long hair. Talked about her in the Song of Solomon. It's been here for a long time because God set it up that way. There's beauty in that hair. Now, can I say that there's some beautiful women that I've seen that have shorter hair? Absolutely. Not saying that. It's not, a fashion statement. This is just, again, a spiritual statement to show that this covering is very vital and it's very important. And God set it up that way. It was His design. It was the beauty for her to have that covering to show that submissive heart as unto the Lord. So again, we have here, but if a woman have long hair, it is a glory for her. It's the softness and the tenderness, for her hair is given her for a covering, a natural covering. This isn't speaking about the covering that we're talking about here of a head covering within to prophesy and pray. It's encouraging that. Last verse, but if any man seem to be contentious or stubborn with this, we have no such custom, neither the churches of God. I'd like to read this translation of it, verse 16, and I think this hits it on the head. But if anyone wants to argue about this, this is what Paul's saying. All I can say is that we never teach anything else than this. A woman should wear a covering when prophesying or praying publicly in the church, and all the churches feel the same way about it. The churches of God. That's the living word. So, we can try to wrestle with the scriptures. We can try to do the things that we want to do because we feel better about it. But this is the way that God designed it. And brothers and sisters, it's not submitting to your husband. It's not showing that. It's submitting to God. And that's what our whole life is about. That's what Jesus Christ came to live and show an example of, is that thy will be done. Thy will be done. Not mine, Lord. Not my desire. Not my wants. But thy will be done. Amen. Praise God. Let's pray. Dear God, we thank you again for this time. We thank you that we can come and just rejoice in your word. Now, Lord, again, we know that some of these things, and the Word of God says that it can be sweet to the mouth, but it can be bitter to the stomach. I'm sure there's some that might be thinking, oh, why did I come to Bible study? But at the same time, Lord, we know again that this is sharper than any two-edged sword. And if we really want to go that way, we know we're going to be trimmed. There's a cutting away that's got to happen because there's going to be a certain one that's going to fit the dress. As we've been reminded so many times, the dress is not going to be altered. This life has to be altered to fit the dress. The bride hath made herself ready. And Lord, let us take these things to heart. Let it be real to our life. We thank you for it. Thank you for your fellowship. In Jesus' name, amen.